wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
Приветствую поклонников футбола и лучшие футбольные сборные планеты. Всех, кто уже приехал в Россию и кто только собирается стать участником величайшего международного события – чемпионата мира FIFA.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
We're down in the new basement studio by the lake, and then we were listening to a taped message of welcome from Russian Premier President Vladimir Putin. What is he?
He's bounced between the different things.
Basically, Russian headman Vladimir Putin welcoming all of us, the rest of the world, to the 2018 FIFA World Cup, which is being hosted this year by Russia. And of course, this is the Atlantic Voice's World Cup special.
Right.
Right. And so we're going to circle back to Mr. Putin in a moment. But to celebrate and inform you on the World Cup, we're going to give you a quick sense of how it all works, assuming that most of you don't know anything about soccer. We're also, because it's Russian, on the table here in the studio, in the basement studios, we have an assortment of Russian food that I picked up from a local Russian specialty store.
Yeah, I see two snack crackery type of things, a juice. What's this? Some sort of desserty type treat thing.
Those have like bars of Russian chocolate.
Oh,
stuff.
Oh, shoot! Get that stuff out there. I need to know how much there is so that we can pace ourselves out. You know, because I mean, if I thought there were four things, I'd be saying we should have something every X minutes. But if there's a million things,
this is an assortment of Russian chocolate candy. It says on the thing, all the food comes courtesy of the Russian Gourmet, which is in Alexandria, Virginia. I went in there the other day. And I went in there with my phone with every intention of recording, you know, doing a quick thing with the owners. But to be fair, the lady working didn't speak very good English. For example, I was clearly lost trying to select stuff. And when she when I was picking up things that looked like they're in a crisp packet, she just came out from around the counter and said, "Oh, good." So I'm like, okay, let me take two of those. But I realized at that moment that sort of interacting with her about the Russian Gourmet and the World Cup, it could have been hard work. It was a legit Russian store, though, because on the wall behind the counter, they did have T-shirts with pictures of Vladimir Putin on them.
Were they laudatory, or they're just like...
Well, I don't know. I don't speak Russian. Yeah. I mean, I know the writing, and my partner in a moment is going to explain that we really are in the dark on most of this food, because all the labeling is in... Is it Cyrillic? Is that what you call Russian?
I think so, yeah.
You did try to translate it, but...
Google makes an app that you can use the camera to take pictures of things and to translate. I mean, I think it's mostly for, like, signs if you're traveling. And I tried to point that at these packages, but, of course, the fonts are not, like, regular. And so you're not totally sure what they are. The first thing, Zeph, is in the midst of pouring, it says... This one actually has an English translation on it and says it's sea buckthorn. Looks to be a fruit juice. It's very thick looking, kind of like those naked juices and that kind of thing, like where they have.
I looked up sea buckthorn, and it is a fruit. It's from a tree, a bush type thing that grows in basically Russia, Mongolia, China, and parts of Canada. They look like the yellow berries. I have no idea how big they are. I'm assuming they're about the same size as, you know, a blueberry or a cranberry. The juice is a very thick-looking orange, maybe sort of almost like the inside of a peach. We're pouring it over the rocks just to hope that if it tastes nasty.
I mean, you don't really know that that's the right way to do it.
I have no idea. I'm sniffing it. It smells a little...
It's 155 calories per 8 ounces.
Oh, my God. Well, they're Russians, though. It's cold, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not from concentrate, apparently.
It's strangely pleasant. It's quite nice.
It's good. It's like a tart thing going on.
Yeah, a little tangy there.
I mean, mind you, it may poison us in the end result, but, you know, everything about this podcast is a little bit dangerous.
Anything from Russia. Didn't they try and poison the dude back in England recently?
Yeah.
So, again, we're going to make some jokes about Russia. Probably at that moment, we're going to run the risk of the podcast being hacked by the Russian Fancy Bears hackers, who are famous hackers from Russia. Or we run the risk of being, you know, killed by a poison umbrella just for making fun of Russia.
That's right.
But to be fair, considering how many, and to bring it around to the World Cup, Russia are hosting the World Cup. There are 31 other nations sending their teams and some contingent of supporters. I have a pretty good feeling that 99% of those dudes are going to be making jokes about Russia as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit. Yeah. Like, it's so many of them. All right, so basic facts. World Cup starts on June 14th, runs to July 15th. There are 32 teams in it. That's narrowed down from 211,
I think, was what I
saw. Something that says there are a couple that were disqualified. Maybe they didn't pay their dues or something. Okay. But for people who don't know, it's every 4 years. And so technically, you were telling me before that it's really the World Cup final. So
these
really, the
World
whole
Cup
lead up
finals,
because, because you have a whole, you have qualifying that's done by on a regional basis, like the different conferences that roughly align with continents, although not strictly speaking. You know, there's a European one, there's a
Europe, Asia, Africa, North America, South America, and then Oceania, which is this sort of mix of like
they include Australia and some other places, and they have some mix in with the, like, there's some playoffs between different areas, and like based on the historical rankings of the teams,
yeah,
different
thing,
areas get different.
I just want to pick you up on that. For example, Oceania seems like it's South Pacific because New Zealand are in it and they didn't qualify from there. Obviously, Australia are right next door, but Australia are listed as a qualifier from Asia. Because I think
they played, they had a playoff.
They have to play in against like a fifth place finisher from Asia. Yeah. So Oceania doesn't get a direct bid. Otherwise, Tahiti would be in the World Cup every other time.
Right. And in America, like it's North America and Central America, which is really part of North America anyway. But that's all together, and then South America is a separate group. So that's why, at the end of the day, United States is not in. Its last loss was against Trinidad and Tobago, which did not make it in. But
I want to shout out one of our fans, Spike Guest Cameron, and we're going to do this on a different show. But I recently became a U.S. citizen,
newly minted. Congratulations!
Yeah. And you know, I was having this conversation with Spike Guest Cameron, and he was like, "Yeah, now that you're a U.S. citizen, you can claim all kinds of wins in sporting events." And he was talking at length about in the Olympics now. I can go all in and be yelling USA, USA and celebrating gold medal winner. I will say this, though, about the World Cup, that I'm a bit disappointed that my adopted home country aren't even in it. So my first shot of claiming some sort of like victory, because obviously I'm going to claim England, as everyone does, they claim their country of heritage.
Sure.
But I'd also like to claim the USA. But of course, the USA are not in this World Cup.
Right.
They failed to make it in spectacularly dramatic, melodramatic,
post-traumatic fashion. They had a rough stretch. Then it seemed like they were going to make it. And then about three results went the wrong way on the last day, which resulted in them not making it. There's multiple rounds, like there's a start point where everybody's in there, they play in groups, then it gets narrowed down to a set of 16, at least around here in North America, it's narrowed down to 6 teams, who then 3 teams come out of that. It's Mexico, Costa Rica, and what's the third United States?
Panama made it, because they're Panama in England's group.
From this area.
So once you get to the World Cup, I just said England's group, once you get to the World Cup, all the teams get thrown into pots and they're drawn from pots. But like the NCAA tournament, there's a vague sort of sense of seeding so that you don't get too many
groups. There's 32 teams, and there are in groups of 4.
Yeah.
And the idea being you don't have an immediate lose and go home. Groups of 4, you get 3 games, and the top 2 teams from that group of 4 will go on. Within those groups of 4, is technically those are like there were 1 seeds, 2 seeds, 3 seeds, 4 seeds that are the different pots that you mentioned that people get drawn from.
So England are in a group with Belgium, Panama, and Tunisia. Panama, one of the countries that qualified from at the expense of the United States. You know, the Russians as the hosts. They automatically get into the World Cup.
Right.
It used to be back in the day that the holder and the host got in. Now just the host gets in. Basically, the thinking being if you've dropped a gazillion dollars on building new stadiums and hosting this thing, well, you get to be in it.
Yeah. They are the lowest ranked team in there right now because they've been doing so badly lately.
Yeah, but they're in a group with Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. Mm-hmm. So that's not the hardest group. Morocco, Iran, Portugal, and Spain are in the next group. France, Australia, Peru, and Denmark. Which all of a sudden feels like a.
We'll probably run through all these a little bit further into the show, and then you know we can kind of quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but one of the things is I want to give our American listeners the chance to think about, well, who do they want to root for?
And okay.
We'll have a couple of suggestions in there.
In the meantime, while I'm drinking our sea buckthorn, I'm going to open what looks like a potato chip packet, same size, but they look like...
I mean, I noticed the two packages you have here of chip-type things, they're the same thing. Like, they're the same brand, and they look like the same thing. I think they just have different flavors. You know what I mean? It's like having potato chips and having one is barbecue and one is...
Well, they're not potato chip. They
no, I know, but I mean, but the point is they're ultimately...
No, but I'm eating it now. I'm trying to explain...
We can hear you.
Sorry. I'm trying to explain to the listener what I'm eating.
Right. But I'm just saying that they are not... two totally different things. Like, this one has a picture of bacon on it, so I'm going to guess that's going to be bacon flavored. This one has a picture of, like, looks like sour cream and chive.
And that's what it is. I'm going to have a bit more of this sea buckthorn, which clearly, obviously, it's some sort of fruit juice, so it can't be bad for me. Although, I did actually look in the tradition of fruit juices. What's the old dietary advice? Is always get your vitamins from fruit, not fruit juice. The one thing on the packet that is in English is the fact that there are 32 grams of sugar. So in each cup of... Oh, sorry, we covered that earlier. I'm sorry. So anyway, this looks like...
Basically bread chips or bagel chips.
Yeah.
There's nothing Russian about this whatsoever.
Well, the fact I can't read the writing...
but I mean, there's nothing like, oh, wow, this is some unique Russian item. Like, at least the buckthorn is like, okay, it's not something you have. But you could easily have this at your local 7-Eleven.
I'm actually going to make the case for the fact that this is Russian. Obviously, it's Russian, but...
Yeah, but I mean, but it's not like traditional dish.
If I go to the 7-Eleven and I have a choice between buying, like, Cheetos or, you know, barbecue-flavored potato chips or bread crisps... I'm buying the chips.
So?
Because that's a snack. What I'm saying is here in Russia, they don't seem to have that choice. They only have the sensible option. It's all part of the very... I'm going to open the bacon-flavored ones just to see what they're like.
Yeah, they're probably like bacon. They're probably like bacon, I'd say. I keep leaning back so that I don't eat in everybody's ears. But
oh, they're really good.
Somebody at this table doesn't worry about that very much, so apologies to everybody.
Sorry, I
wish it was in stereo so you'd know it was him. Like, the left-hand side was where the crunching was going on.
Hey, for our listeners back in England, the bacon flavor, this tastes like smoky bacon crisps back in England. Tastes good. Mm.
So my first little known fact.
Okay.
Little known facts about Russians I'm going to give you here. They enjoy vodka. It's a little known fact. I mean, big secret there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Low in calories, I'm told as well, apparently, vodka. Although I'm making up with it with these potato rounds.
All the hard liquors are like the same amount of calories. It's not like they carry a bunch of sugars. It's a small amount. It's the calories are in the alcohol itself.
These are good, aren't they? So you're warming up to our Siberian cousins.
Again, it is a tasty bacon flavor. I imagine I'm going to now taste this for the next hour.
Don't worry. The sea buckthorn juice will wash it away.
Right. So the other thing we were going to do, I don't know if now is the right time, and since we have the headphones on because we had to have them on for Putin's welcome.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's play a little music, too.
One of the things that they do in the World Cup, and you know more of the history of this than I do, is they usually have songs not only for the main World Cup but for a bunch of the teams.
Yeah, I mean, those of you that are longtime listeners know that when we did our World Cup special in 2014 before the World Cup was in Brazil, we actually dedicated the special entirely to reviewing the different songs that the various national teams and federations had written and sung to celebrate the fact that their team was in the World Cup. But this year it seems that's like yesterday's trend.
Yeah.
Because I found it very hard to actually find any nations that were actually submitting songs to sort of go along with their team. England, actually, it was a big deal in the British newspapers that we were not doing a World Cup song. I mean, I remember every time that England qualified... And any of the home nations, Scotland, Northern Ireland, it was tradition that someone, either a pop star or the team itself, would get together and they'd all get in the recording studio and release a 7-inch single, celebrating the nation going. But this time, most countries aren't. One country has done, but I don't think that's the song we're playing now.
No, we're going to start with the main official song of the World Cup.
Yeah, and this is a song commissioned by FIFA, who run the World Cup. They're the soccer equivalent of the USOC.
song is called Live It Up.
Yeah.
The main singer is Nicky Jam.
I don't know who that is.
Puerto Rican.
Okay. Not in the World Cup.
But there are two other people, and I'm going to wait until they come on. So.
Who is that?
The woman is Ira Istrefi, I-S-T-R-E-F-I, who is a Kosovan.
Okay. Where's Kosovo? That's not in Russia, is it?
No, former Russia. All right, you know, so not Serbia
in,
area.
Not in the World Cup. Actually, no, to be fair, Serbia are in the World Cup.
Yeah, Serbia's in. So. Third voice yet. In the meantime, I'll mention it's produced by Diplo, which is another American producer.
Okay. Sure. Not in the World Cup.
No.
This is very jaunty, though. I feel like going outside and kicking it about for a few minutes.
Anybody know who this is? Can you tell who it is? It's Will Smith.
Oh, not in the World Cup.
I wouldn't know it was Will Smith, but for the... What's weird is I saw a video for it. The one we're playing here now is not a video, it's just the audio. I mean, let's play it in the background here. I think it's a little weird, again, fitting with our foods that are ostensibly Russian, but really could be anything.
Yeah.
It's not like they did any... I mean, I guess by having a Kosovan woman as one of the people, that's kind of Russian. You know, maybe they're trying to annex it.
I mean, to be fair... I don't know how big of stars these other people were. Obviously, Will Smith is a star.
I think Nicky Jam must be a big deal, but it's not somebody I follow.
Okay. So I'm assuming that all these people have name recognition around the four corners of the world.
I mean, unless maybe by having a Puerto Rican sing it, it was Putin thumbing his nose at Trump with the not taking care of the hurricane stuff.
That may be it, yeah.
Really, the Will Smith part sounds like a copy of Will Smith.
Will Smith career arc? That's a show all of its own. Yeah. We may need to do that sometime when we got some time. So this is the official song. It was commissioned by FIFA. I'm going to presume that this will be played in the stadium and outside the stadium, but they'll probably play it at some moment. You know, within when we went to the Olympics back in London.
That Muse song.
That Muse song would play before every event.
Right.
Obviously, the World Cup. You know, the teams come out of the tunnel, they stand on the pitch. One of the great things is the anthems of the countries that's played as the teams line up and they get ready to roll. And then they play the game. But I would presume that the official song of the World Cup is probably going to be played in the stadium, you know, 30 minutes before kickoff to get everyone bouncing up and down and ready to watch some international soccer action.
Speaking of stadiums, actually, I was going to mention... other facts here is they're using 12 different venues. Most of them have capacities between 35 and 45 or maybe a little bit more thousand. There is one in St. Petersburg that has 64,000. That's supposed to be a big deal.
And the finals,
and the Russian one.
The finals in Moscow
that's got 80,000.
In the Luzhniki Stadium, which holds 81,000. Yeah. I mean, and I think this is an interesting thing about, you know, Russia and you know, it's no different than the U.S., but I think Russia actually has like six different time zones.
I think
something
huge.
You know, it's bigger than America, which has three time zones. It's bigger than.
But they're not covering the thing. Is that includes a lot of Eastern Russia, which is like all the way over by China, and there's not really a lot going on there. And so, like, all these seem to be on the Western half. Now, they did say I think there's about 1,000 miles. One of the interesting things, and see if I can show you this map on the Wikipedia. You see this one here. There's one of the stadiums is in Kaliningrad, and Kaliningrad is separate from the rest of Russia.
If you can imagine, like, and the way that Alaska is on the other side of Canada.
Right. And so the fact that they picked that, I thought to myself, is this again about Putin aggression? Like, he wanted to, because it's over by Poland, or past Poland, basically.
But it's a good...
And it's basically like saying, well, we're going to put a stadium out here, just so you know.
Yeah.
We got designs on this place again someday. I mean, that guy's got a lot of ideas.
Oh, yeah. Everything is a metaphor for invading the West.
I'll give you another little-known fact about Russians. Only 12% of them own a hammer, but 73% own sickles.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder why the two things are together.
Yeah, they don't really know. They don't have an explanation when I look that up.
Well, so it's probably easier to cut up your pig for your bacon-flavored bread snack with a sickle than it is with a hammer.
Yep. So should we maybe run through a couple of groups here, and then we can bounce back to food? Or are you ready for another food? I mean, you just keep eating the chips, which I kind of want to take them away from you.
All right, let me move the chips, because I know it's irritating you when I'm actually eating on air. I don't know if you want to do sweet after savory or the other way around. On the table.
Well, we should build towards the sweet, right?
Okay.
I guess, right?
All right, well, let's do a couple of groups before we open the smoked sprats in oil.
All right, then.
So again, the 32 nations are separated into groups by seeding, and they also try and keep, obviously, and we're not going too deep into the soccer politics of the world, but the World Cup finals tend to be dominated by the more powerful nations, and I don't mean in terms of the teams, but what I mean is the areas. So, for example, there are 14 teams from Europe, where all your commercial TV money is. There are 8 teams from South America, which is sort of one of the traditional hotbeds of international football.
Uh-huh.
But then there's fewer from, you know, 8. There's only like 5 from Asia and this type of thing. So what happens is one of the things, obviously they seed the teams by strength, but they also try hard to keep you away from people that you've seen in qualifying. So very similar, but you know, it's a bit similar.
But how can they do? They pull from the pots. They don't read.
Yeah, but they have 6 different pots, and there's all those stories about how it's all fixed anyway.
Okay. Well, right. Of course. I mean, it's FIFA after all. It's all cheating. Anyway, Group A has Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. We mentioned
and
that
right
earlier.
There, I make the case for the fact that it's fixed, because that's a really weak group. You said before that Russia are terrible at the moment, and they are. Historically, they were pretty decent. When I was a kid, they were, you know, back in the. In you know, my first memories of the World Cup in like 1978, and then I think 1982 was the first time I saw, you know, a Russian team in the World Cup. You know, they were always sort of dark horses that they could play a little bit, and they used to have a very strong club soccer,
because
a lot of it was state sponsored. They had the army team, so there was Spartak Moscow and Dynamo Kiev and all these sort of different things. And if during your club domestic season, you were drawn in a European tie away to a Russian team, there was always this sort of sense of, ooh, these could be fidgety opponents. But, you know, recently their international team has not been that strong. But the fact that somehow the hosts who have spent a gazillion dollars have ended up in a group with Saudi Arabia, who, to be fair, tend to be at the World Cup all the time now.
Yeah, they're decent. Yeah. I don't think they're coming out of the group.
You know,
but they're
Egypt, who sort of go every third time, and then Uruguay, who I would imagine are probably the strongest team in the group.
Yeah, I think Uruguay's definitely the strongest. I'm going to make the case for people looking for rooting interest not to root for them, because they have, what's his name, the biting guy, Luis Suarez, who bit... actually, multiple players over the course of the years he's been.
Oh, he's a biter.
So he, but they are
of,
probably the most likely to come out of
South American soccer.
They also have, for those who follow the offer, Edison Cavani, who is, it's always, I find it interesting with the South American names that are like these German and Italian names, and you can tell like it's not all just Latino.
Yeah.
Egypt, like
George Fernandez.
If you want a team to root for, I think it's highly appropriate to root for Egypt.
Really?
Mo Salah. Everybody loves Mo Salah. Liverpool. I mean, we can hate at Liverpool, but we kind of like Mo Salah. He was, of course, they say he's back in training. He hurt his shoulder.
He didn't
hurt his shoulder. Sergio Ramos hurt his shoulder.
And we'll
talk about
Sergio Ramos
later,
shortly.
But,
yeah.
in the final of the Champions League game, but he's supposedly back in training. He's not totally sure he's going to be playing in the first games. But
I think it's fair to say that at this moment in time, Mo Salah is one of the 5 best players in the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean,
so there you go. So right there at that moment, you know, he gives Egypt a shouting chance. And
he kind of has to carry him, but...
Well, I will say this. It's interesting. Without getting too deep into the sporting aspect of it, I've always sort of turned my up. I've always raised an eyebrow at the notion that one soccer player can carry a team. I don't think one soccer player can carry the team over the course of a domestic season.
Right.
In the way that in basketball, a team can hitch a ride to LeBron James for 9 months and get away with it. Soccer is slightly different. But in the World Cup, which, as you said before, lasts for a month, the most teams are going to be playing 6 games. The World Cup is littered with individuals who played out of their skin and somehow carried their team along. Because again, you're seeing teams on not a lot of preparation, short rest. You know, that the one player who's magical. I mean, Pelé was famous in 1970 for, you know, elevating Brazil to a new level. Diego Maradona single-handedly won a World Cup. You know, the Dutch went to two finals.
But for people who don't know, he has a famous hand of God. Where he hit the ball with his hand.
You know, Lionel Messi at the last World Cup carried a pretty decent Argentina team to the final, but couldn't quite get it done. So, yeah, you're right. Egypt, there you go. They might make it out of the group just because they have one player, if he does play, has the ability to, you know, win a game all on his own.
Who do you think's coming out of the group?
Well, because I think it's fixed for the Russians, I'm going to put the Russians down. You know something? No. I'm going to say Uruguay and Saudi Arabia.
All right, I think the Russians go home. I think so.
Because they're just so bad. And again, my partner is somewhere going to, you know, write these predictions down. I'm doing everything based off every... I've told this story before, so I'm going to tell it again now. Every World Cup, I always buy a magazine that has a pull-out poster of the World Cup that has all the games, and I will fill this out religiously after every game with the scores, and then fill out the final group tables, and then figure out the knockout by writing in all the matchups. Something I've done since I was a kid, and I'm doing it again now, even as a man of indeterminate middle age. So it's a bit similar to filling out your NCAA bracket, right. But the difference is I do it as it happens, and I'm not betting. I just like to do it.
Yeah, well, you've got quirks.
Yeah.
One thing to mention.
Because it's 3 games a day for 2 weeks. And then it turns out to like 2 games a day or something. So it's a festival of football coming.
That leads into something I wanted to mention. So people probably remember when it was in Korea, a lot of like late night games and things like that. So
can't have it in these
foreign countries. Effectively are running the first few rounds are run 8 o'clock. This is East Coast time. 8 in the morning, 11, and then 2.
2 in the afternoon.
Are the 3 games.
Yeah.
There's an early game, a 6 a.m. and like the second day because they have that one off game that they have to kind of mesh up with other things. Yeah. But and then once they get past that and they go to on that last weekend when the people playing same time, it's like 10 and 2, and then later on I think the games are mostly in that middle of the day thing. So sneak out of lunch.
Yep.
Sneak out for lunch and go watch whatever game you'd like to. Yep. Also
or come in late
all on
for
Fox.
Work,
all on Fox, and we can send an at Fox and public the on Fox, and also available on their streaming app Fox to Go or whatever the heck it's called. So
and here in the US if you like, it's also on Telemundo. But the trouble is all the commentary is in Spanish, but of course that is an entertaining thing all of its own. And I do enjoy, and it's true, I'm one of those people, because I know what I'm watching, and I don't mean that to sound like, you know, I'm not specifically looking for an abrasive statement, but what I'm saying is if I'm watching, I don't know, ice hockey on TV, it helps to have the commentators tell me what's going on, because I don't know what's going on. Soccer, I can watch with the sound down, and I know what's going on. There's that old thing about if you think the commentary is inane, turn it down. But actually don't. If you're here in the US, just switch to the Spanish channel. And you still don't understand what they're saying, but they're saying it with such rhythm and pizzazz. And when a goal's scored, there are people yelling. It's all very, very emotional. It's the way they believe the game is played. So I might watch a couple of games on the Spanish channel just because I don't want to hear some guy banging away. Okay, fair enough.
All right. Food?
Okay, so I don't know if you actually want the
of course, I love
all right,
little salty fish.
So I have something, and the packet says Riga Gold, so I guess it comes from, I guess that would be the Baltic, because I know Riga's not in Russia, but it's on the Baltic. These are smoked sprats, and a sprat is a version of sardine and sort
or
of anchovy. Yeah, it's all that type of thing. So I've just opened it. These are in olive oil.
Cat's going to come running.
And it smells fishy. You have a fork there if you want to dig in.
Yeah.
Be careful because there's going to be oil and everything.
Yeah, that's why we have napkins and forks. Yep. Don't want us to get our nationals.
So, you know, if you've had a heavy night out on the vodka, you know, you probably go and decide to have some sardines before you crash out for bed. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sardines.
What you about expect. Yeah. Again. I feel like this is a little bit more Russian, but it's course on a lot of other countries too.
Yeah, I also want to give a shout out now to a country that's actually not in the World Cup, controversially. But for the first time in many years, Italy, one of the world powers of soccer, who've won a couple of World Cups in their time, they didn't make it. They failed in qualification to make it through. But in Italy, they deep fry sprats. They lightly coat them with flour, deep fry them, and then serve them up, and they're all crispy, and they're very tasty.
All right, then. This won't be as loud a food as the other food, hopefully.
But very healthy, though.
Very healthy.
Oh, yes. So we're going to get you fish oil.
Well, yeah. But
your omega-3s.
I love this when they did the nutrition label, and it's clear. Like, so it's totally unable to be read, basically. It's, you know, just a clear sticker on a jar of fish that you can't see. So it's a product of Latvia. So,
sorry. Yeah, which is right next door.
Right.
But very popular in Russia. So I'm sure if you're hanging out, you know, if you're on some work exchange in Vladivostok and someone whips out a bottle of vodka and a jar of sprats, well, that's a sign of friendship.
As I explained, they like vodka, so that was a well-known fact. Hey, you know, one other thing I want to mention in terms of... Oh, actually, we got to go to other songs. All right, the next song is really... It's the official promotional song. And this is... For Coca-Cola. It's got an ad.
Well, while you organize that, I will let everyone know that if you watch the World Cup on TV, like all these major sporting events, some major corporate interests are hanging on and bringing everything to you. McDonald's are always tied into the World Cup and Coca-Cola.
Hey, what up? Why?
Yo, we're about to slide to the other side
for a long time supporter of the FIFA World Cup.
I'm going to be there in like 5 minutes.
All right, yeah. Cool. I'm going to let the people know you slide.
All right.
For sure.
That's a little intro, somebody making a phone call for some reason. That was actually part of the video.
Oh, what a feeling. Look what we've overcome. Oh, I'm gonna wave away my flag.
Jason Derulo, again, also American. I don't really know much about him.
We are the champions.
But those Coca-Cola
songs. And we're turning back. Saying, oh, can't you taste the feeling?
I mean... The taste, you know, the stuff, all this clearly.
I'll say this, he's no Pitbull.
You know, he's actually kind of affiliated with Pitbull.
Oh, he
think,
is.
Something like that.
Yeah, but he doesn't have that. I don't know.
I don't know where he is here. He's like on some sort of castle. It looks like a set from Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Hands up for your colors.
Hands up for your colors. Yes. So there you go. I will say this about both of, and this is, while this is not an official tune, this is one of the major commercial sponsors' official tune for the World Cup. It's all very
promotional
nice.
Promotional anthem.
Yeah, it's all very nice and good-natured music. I don't know if it's some sort of thing where if you bombard people with that, they'll be less inclined to riot. Although, to be fair, I'm not sure if that's going to work on, you know, English football supporters who like to go a bit.
Russian football supporters, I mean, they've got a serious problem over there. We could easily have some issues over there.
And there's been a lot of internet trash talking, apparently.
Apparently the largest group of foreign folks going over there? Americans.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Probably all work for the White House.
Majority.
Yeah. Right. Going over there to do some business.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the next group.
Yeah, we got to move faster through the groups.
Sorry, yeah. Morocco, Iran, Portugal, and Spain.
That's Group B.
I mean, to be fair, it couldn't get any easier for Portugal and Spain, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Although that is interesting of note. Obviously, the World Cup, the next World Cup in 2022 is in Qatar. Or Qatar, I never know how you pronounce it. Very controversial.
Qatar.
When they won the World Cup, very controversial because they are their country basically the size of, I don't know,
a small
town. And so they're gonna host I think the thing is going to be expanded next
Travel
time.
Travel will be cheaper.
Yeah, 48 teams and build all kinds of stadiums. But for the World Cup after that, nations get together and obviously bid and then FIFA vote in secret. And also have a whole payoff and bribery system, and then they award the World Cup. Well, the World Cup after 2022, which is 2026, the US, Canada, and Mexico are putting in one joint bid to host it.
You can imagine how much Donald Trump likes this.
Yeah. Their opponent is Morocco.
Yeah.
Morocco are putting in an alternative bid, and while I believe the US, Canada, and Mexico will ultimately win it, there is a lot of talk at the moment that there is... Definitely amongst some of the smaller nations, because all the nations, we talked about 210 plus countries, they all get one vote now for this thing.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, the Germans and someone else sitting around deciding where it goes. It's one country, one vote. There is quite a bit of support. for Morocco because small countries want to spread the wealth. But I think ultimately, you know, how much
money... It's probably a lot easier to give a bribe from Morocco than it is from the United States.
Obviously, this is a long ways off. If it does end up in Morocco, we're going to have to find a Morocco grocery somewhere because I don't know where I'm going to get Moroccan food from. So that's Group B. Pretty straightforward to me, Portugal and Spain. Let's move on to Group C.
Sure.
And this is, to me, one of those sort of vaguely... They always have something called a group of death, which is all kinds of big teams in the same group. And you sit there and go, wow, all these guys are legit. Somebody's going home. Who can it be? I wouldn't say this is a group of death, this next one, but it's a pretty good group. France, who aren't the France that they used to be about 12 years ago. Australia, who, while they're not great, always end up qualifying for the World Cup and are dangerous. Peru, who actually have they have quite a decent World Cup history over the past 60 years. And Denmark, who are one of those European teams who, if you want to put your money on someone just getting it to the knockout round, it's always you always bet on a team like Denmark because they always find a way to get to the round of 16.
And they have Christian Eriksen of Tottenham Hotspur, which is he's quite a good player and probably their leader at the moment.
I'm trying to think, you know, again, like the nearest comparison is like the NCAA basketball tournament. I always feel like Denmark are sort of like, I was going to say like Syracuse, but even that's not a good comparison because Syracuse actually gone all the way a couple of times recently. But in general, they're a team that gets in, they get out of their group. They'll get knocked out. They're not going to win it all, but they're good to win a couple of games. Right. If you're a betting man, throw a bit of cash on Denmark getting out of Group C. That's my prediction for you. And obviously the French. But
so you're going France games. And
yeah,
Denmark?
Yeah, I'm going to go France and Denmark.
I think that's right, so we'll go with that. We're kind of...
You want to do one more group and then... Why don't we wait?
Yeah.
Because you do want to talk about Sergio Ramos.
I was going to mention, one thing on the side, the mascot. For this World Cup, you know, of course, just like the Olympics, they have these mascots. The mascot this year is a wolf, a little cartoon wolf, obviously not an actual wolf. Although maybe they have some of those around Russia as well. And I'm trying to find his name. It is
Vladimir the Wolf.
It's something Zabivaka. Z-A-B-I-V-A-K-A. Zabivaka?
Zabakov.
No.
Zabivakov.
There's no Fs. Just Zabivaka.
Zabivaka.
Anyway, he's... The name means to strike in Russian.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
For some reason, he's wearing glasses.
Oh.
Like sport glasses, goggles, and you don't even see people in soccer wearing sport goggles, so I don't have any idea why. The only thing I can think of is from an illustration standpoint.
He's the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He looked too... Much like an actual animal, and if you put glasses on them, then it seems more like a cartoon.
Friendlier. A little friendlier to little kids,
We're not up to Sergio's song. I was going to save Sergio's song for last, but
okay.
The next song I was going to have play here is the Nigerian song. It was one of the few teams where we could find, they had one, and...
Because we're going to come to their group next.
Oh, how convenient is that?
Yeah, isn't that great?
All right.
I already like this.
Yeah. They do a thing. They do this little chest bump thing with a fist, you know? And apparently that's some Nigerian thing. Do you feel it? Because I feel it. We all feel it. And the video is tied into Pepsi, so it's even a...
Oh, it's taking a shot.
Spirited.
Yeah, trying to get in the back door there, yeah.
It's got Victor Moses of Chelsea is in the video. Best believe it, because my
heart beats. Tonight I spirit. And Alex Iwobi of the Arsenal.
Hey, was that a... I don't know who that singer was there, but...
Yeah, it was Alex Iwobi. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. The only Arsenal player in the World Cup, apparently. We love
Nigeria.
We live
it. Nigeria all the way. Nigeria all the way.
So that's pretty fun. I mean, that's almost good enough reason to root for
that. And you know something? That's a good old-fashioned, official,
Although I guess this is probably the commercial version with the Pepsi.
That's an official nations. This is our song that the team are in the video. Yep. You know, it's got a bumping soundtrack. That's a good old-fashioned World Cup song. I will say this, Nigeria, we're going to come to their group. Nigeria, one of those teams... I remember hearing this about 30 years ago when someone once predicted that an African team will win the World Cup. Africa turns out hordes of extremely talented soccer players. But for some reason in the World Cup, I think Ghana made it to the quarterfinals once, but they've never, and Cameroon made it to the quarterfinals. They've never had anyone get to the semifinals and or beyond.
Well, see, the thing is that sure. that statement is really,
well, I would say. It's not a statement, it's a fact.
No, but the statement that, like, oh, it should be surprising, when you're saying Africa turns out a lot of great players, that's like saying Europe turns out a lot. Like, it's a whole true. Continent, okay. and it's okay. all broken up into these countries. Okay. So any one country has two or three or four people in the Premier League, but no, they're not. Fair. They really don't. They're not stacked. None of these countries are stacked with people.
No, but Nigeria going to be pretty good, and I'm now going to read out their group. Argentina, world player, power, won the World Cup a couple of times.
Right.
Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria. Now, this isn't a group of death, but this group is wide open. Because I could make a case for any two of those four teams going through.
Do you think there's a threat to Argentina in there?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think Iceland is a lock?
Iceland made the last eight of the European Championships 2 years ago. They beat England, one of the teams they knocked out on the way. So they're dangerous. And Croatia have a swashbuckling.
Iceland, a nation of 330,000 people.
As Gary Lineker always says, with more volcanoes than footballers. That's his famous expression. And Croatia, who actually have a history of playing some pretty attacking soccer, they made the World Cup semifinals in 1998, losing to eventual champion France in the semifinals. They've always had a couple of players. They play the game with some real panache and some style. When I was a kid, Yugoslavia turned out lots of very good footballers, and obviously Yugoslavia as a nation no longer exists, but that whole part of Europe, they still have this sort of, yeah, we like to play the game the way it should be played.
It is fair point that Argentina just barely made it in this time.
Yeah, Argentina are not that strong. I think they're stronger in name.
They do have Lionel Messi, obviously, yeah, everybody knows.
They're stronger in name Ramos. Than they are in honest not talent, Ramos, so. I think, this time around. I think that group is wide open. I guess we've got to make a prediction.
Yeah. Sergio Aguero is what I meant. Is the other one.
Oh, God. I mean, it is hard to bet against Argentina. I'm going to say Argentina. I'm going to say Croatia. But if the other two make it through, I'm not going to sit here and go, I'm just going to go, well, there you go. I said it was wide open.
Yeah.
I think that game is good. Now, again, so
I'm going to go crazy. I'm going Nigeria and Iceland.
So let me just explain a little bit for how it works. So those four teams are in a group. They'll all play each other one time. The games are staggered early so that you can, you know, so each game can be seen around the world. But when they play the last round, both games are played at the same time.
And that's so that there's no nobody can, like, cook, you know, like, yeah, basically no see what the other team has done. Yeah, and then therefore I will try or not try at a different level.
I think that's one of those groups that when the last round comes around of group play there, all four teams could be in with a
sure.
shout of going.
Sounds good.
I think that group is wide open.
Well, just for interesting, even though I said Argentina seemed like a lock, I'm just going to say Nigeria and Iceland just to have
all
fun.
Right, so we're halfway through. That's 16 of the 32 teams.
I think it's time for a little known fact about the Russians. A little known fact is that Robert Mueller has determined that the military arm of the government actually tampered with our summer movie choices last year, and that's why you won.
Okay. So I did win last year.
No, I'm saying the Russians tampered with it. So
I would have won.
Something like that.
Okay. I'm opening some a Russian candy bar. It is chocolate. It has a picture of chocolate, and it looks like it has white vanilla cream in it. It's actually quite big.
So why don't you split that in half?
I was going to do that, but I'm just saying it's actually quite big. It's about the size of like half a dollar bill, but it is chocolate, and ooh, there you go. So it's chocolate covered. It looks like it looks a bit like a small Dove bar.
Yeah. The package even looks like a Dove bar.
It sort of tastes like a wafer with some sort of cream stuff inside. I mean, I'm not going to pound it back with a hot drink, but I'm not going to go out and buy a whole box of these. Can't identify the flavor.
It's a little coconutty. But it's kind of light, I think. Yeah.
But anyway, obviously, because the writing is all in Russian, we have no idea what it is. But we're plowing through the courses. You actually mentioned, I read something online, you were talking about, you making a joke about the Russians hacking into the Atlantic Voices Summer Movie Guide preview shows,
mm-hmm.
Where my partner and I compete. The two specials for this year are already up, so please go back and listen to those if you haven't. But I actually found an interesting tidbit on the internet when we were in the green room beforehand, that apparently in the
United... We have a green room?
We do, yeah.
Hmm.
In the United Kingdom, they've actually changed the release dates of some of the big summer movies because they are concerned that during the World Cup, people aren't going to the cinema. They're busy watching three games a day. And, you know, I did say that earlier, that the first 2 weeks of the World Cup, if you're going to watch every game, you're giving up 9 hours of your day right there.
Games are in the evening for them, so.
Yeah, so and one of the interesting tidbits was there are a couple of films. Jurassic Park's already been released there, which is quite rare that it was released prior to the United States because they want to get in the cinema before the World Cup starts.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, whatever, the one about the dinosaurs. Your Ant-Man movie is coming out a month later, well after the World Cup is finished. I think The Incredibles is coming out 2 weeks earlier. So it is interesting, especially if you're in another part of the world where the games are on later in the day, basically Western Europe, it does take over life. You know, I've often said this about sports in Europe and watching them here in America, that you can watch them early and then you have the rest of your day that you can live under sort of like normal circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously in Europe, when the World Cup is on, it's basically what, you know, if three of the games, one's at lunchtime, one's at 4 p.m, and one's at 7, you're bailing out of work at 3:30 and parking in front of the bus, parking in front of the box for 5 hours. So it is interesting how the World Cup affects other life. Let me have a look here. We do have some more candy. So I bought a grab bag at the Russian Gourmet, and they just charged me. I basically bought, you know, they must have mixed these together. I spent $7 on just over half a pound of chocolate candy. I don't know what, they're all like individually wrapped. So I'm going to give one to you there. You can wrap that and dig in. We don't know what, we have no idea what it is. This one has like little daisies on it. So this, I don't know, so it could be a fruit flavored one. That has a bird on it. Hopefully it doesn't taste like chicken. I don't know what this one is. I'm going to open a little square one here that has DM written on it and two little red hearts. Looks like a chocolate cube, but it is kind of squidgy and soft. Oh, it is.
It's basically chocolate over
cherry jam?
No, what do you call those? Like the gelatin, like dots, you know, like jujubes or stuff, like stuff that sticks to your teeth.
What sort of things?
The ones that are like sort of have a flat, matte type of finish, not the glossy. Anyway, it's horrible.
All right, we'll do two more. We'll both eat the same one. It's that one there. This is a green wrapping. And again, all the writing's in Cyrillic. So we have no idea. I mean, we really are just eating candy.
Well, this looks like another one. You could read the ingredients and it kind of told you a little bit more.
Almost like a hay chocolate and hazelnut.
Yeah, whatever.
I notice you're not finished. It tastes a little waxy.
Yeah.
But to be fair, that means it's probably legitimately Russian. I spent 6 months getting here on the boat.
Sure.
All right, so that's that. Let's get that out of the way.
All right. Song?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The next song is actually, it is the Spain song, so I guess they do have their own. But the more notable thing is that it's got a regular singer, DeMarco Flamenco, but the other one singer is Sergio Ramos, who's the defender for Spain that pulled Mo Salah's arm out of its socket.
Yeah. Not intentionally, I think, though.
No, I think it's intentional. Not intentional, like that's he knew what was happening. No,
I don't think this is the official
him.
Spanish song.
I think it says it is.
Okay. But this is a World Cup song. Oh, yeah. Some drums, not simulated crowd noise.
Spain's World Cup song. Okay.
Nunca olvidemos lo que pudimos sentir. Aquel camino a la
victoria. Is that Sergio Ramos?
Yeah.
I can't tell which one's what.
Because he's singing it.
Yeah, but it's some other singer too.
I mean, to be fair, I can't understand it, but then I can't understand what we're eating either, so there you go.
This is the professional singer guy, I think. Corazon's heart.
Yeah.
You know that. Vamos España, here we go, Spain.
Yeah, go Spain.
It's not as jaunty. like little, it's almost like a little dramatic. It's like a love song.
Yeah, a little bit. It doesn't, while it's a traditional, yeah, this is a World Cup team song, it doesn't have the oomph that the Nigerian one had. Because I've listened to that Nigerian one again. Like I said, I've not put any money on Nigeria to come out of the group, but I'll listen to their song again.
Yeah. Your heart. Something about your heart. It's like a love song.
All right. So when you turn that down, I'm now going to compare, and obviously it's a very small sample this year, unlike the last World Cup preview show we did in 2014, where I think we did about 9 songs. I'm going to say this. Both the team songs, frankly, are superior to the officially mandated songs that are probably going to get played in the stadium.
Do you think that was better than the Nicky Jam song? I think the Nicky Jam song was better.
I think the Nigerian one is the best one out of the four. You think so?
Yeah, the Nigerian was the best.
Okay, but I'm going to defend this song. One,
actually, maybe the Coca-Cola one was the worst.
One, this is sung by a footballer, not a pop singer.
I mean,
so I give him some points for that. And two, you're not listening to this and you're not even having any second thought of trying to listen to this away from the World Cup. The other ones, they're hoping to sell a few of those things on Spotify.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's publicity.
All right, let's get...
Who's going to buy that?
All right, Group E. Let's go. Costa Rica, Serbia. Costa Rica, of course, coming out of the U.S.'s CONCACAF. So again,
and they're a regular, you know, they're kind of become a regular.
Yeah, they go a lot, yeah. Serbia, Brazil, and Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Brazil, everyone knows Brazil. They're famous for getting hammered last time around in their own country by the Germans 6-1 in one of the greatest days of sports ever. Because me, I think it's quite fair to say I'm not on the Brazil bandwagon. Well, Brazil, isn't it great? No, shut up. Sorry, people know me. I'm always counterculture. I'm going counterculture Brazil. I have no idea how good Brazil actually are at this moment in time.
I think every pundit in a bumpy stretch because Neymar was maybe not going to play, but I guess he's going to be back now or something. But
every pundit in the world will sit and tell you, "Yeah, Brazil." But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not sure how actually good they are. So yes, while they are the Duke or North Carolina or UCLA of men's basketball, we actually don't know. You know, are they injured? Is this one of their better teams? I have no idea. They will get out of the group because they always do. The rest of that group, though, is quite tough to pick.
Yeah.
Costa Rica, Serbia, Switzerland.
Well,
they can all play
I'm
a little bit.
Looking at the Telegraph's preview, and they're saying nice things about Switzerland, saying Brazil and Switzerland. Costa Rica has certainly been out of group before.
I wouldn't be surprised if Serbia make it. Like, they've got enough talent to make it out of their group. They're not going to make it out of their group. I'm going to say, who are you going to pick?
I'm going to go with Switzerland.
Then I'm going to pick Costa Rica.
Okay.
But not with any kind of, just to mix it up a bit.
All right. So you're doing Brazil and Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
I'm doing Brazil and Switzerland.
All right. So now we come to what I believe is actually the group of death. There's no guarantees you're going to get a group of death, but FIFA always find the way to create one. This one is all blockbusters. Germany, Mexico, Sweden, and South Korea. South Korea have been to the World Cup semifinals when they hosted it. Sweden, they're one of the sort of grandfathers of FIFA, and they tend to have a pretty decent team.
Ibs is retired, right, from international?
I think so.
Although,
Mexico, or the Tri, as they are referred to here in America, while I'm a new American citizen and everyone else seems to want to follow Mexico, I'm not a Mexican citizen. I have no interest in them moving forward, so I'm not quite a regular American yet. And, of course, Germany, who are the defending champions and feel like they win it every other time. That's a true group of death there. Wow. If I put my gambling hat on and I'm thinking of making some money on that group, I'm actually not betting at all because I have no idea. I think Germany. Okay, Germany are going through. Germany tend to be a lock. They know how to get it done. It could be any one of those other three.
I'm going to pick Sweden only because I don't want to root for Mexico. It'd be fun to root for Sweden. That's my quarter of my heritage.
I'm going to go with you on that. I don't know. I think it depends how much. Mexico are a team that they do tend to get out of the group, but I always feel every time they flatter to this. Always feel they never quite done as well as they should.
They seem to go
on
these cycles of like, because they were really in horrible shape last World Cup. Then they trended up and they just cleaned everybody's clocks in qualifying. And then what I've seen lately of them apparently is they're having a hard time again and seem to change their coach every 3 years on off cycle and things. But in any event, I have a feeling they're going to falter again.
All right. So
also, you know, there is the other piece that traditionally when the cups are in the new, the first world, you know, in the European things, the South American and the American countries tend to do worse. Everybody seems to do better in their half of the globe.
I think that's
I don't mean like it's like it's just a marginal sort of difference.
No, I agree with you. That is conventional wisdom, and I'm trying to think. There's always an outlier. Like, it doesn't matter where. If they could have the thing on the moon and Germany are going to the semifinals, so that's sort of the outlier. But you're right. In general, I'm trying to, even Argentina made the final last time around, and frankly, I thought that was a little bit of an upset. If it had been played in Europe, I would have seen another European team taking on the Germans. The fact that it's in Russia, I guess it's European.
They claim to be.
They claim to be, although I think we're not having it at the moment. To your point, I don't think Mexico are coming out of the group. But I do think that group's going to be a bruiser, and I wouldn't be surprised if Mexico made it out of the group. And while, you know, South Korea, they're probably the weakest of the teams. You know, Japan, who we're going to talk about in one of the later groups, these guys are showing up at every World Cup because of how they qualify. So the odds are a large percentage of their team, it is a different experience going away, living together. It is different from what these guys do in club football. So at some level, if you've got a whole load of players who've done this before, like they used to hanging out at the hotel for 3 straight weeks and all this sort of thing, you know, South Korea, you know, they've got experience. They may not have form, but they've got experience in this type of football. So while I don't think they're coming out of the group, I'm not going to completely underwrite them. Two groups to go. Let's open some food. Yeah. I'm holding...
While you open that, little known fact.
This thing's like a house brick.
Little known fact, the Russians are very big fans of the TV show Felicity from the late 90s. You know why that is?
Really?
Carrie Russell,
yeah.
You know, from the Americans. She played the Russian spy. But oddly enough, they liked her with a short haircut.
Oh, well, very... All right, so this, I've heard something. This is hard. It's almost, it's halfway between a cake and a biscuit. I've broken up a piece for you. This is actually quite a big, it's like 6 inches long and about 3 inches wide.
It looks like a Pop-Tart on steroids.
But it's definitely filling? On steroids.
I didn't get a piece with filling. Is there filling when you get
there is like some sort of a filling. There you go. Have
this
that
part
piece.
Didn't have any filling.
It's pretty nice. It looks a lot bigger. It's just nasty.
It's a convenience store strudel, basically.
I don't know about that. My piece is dry. Because I couldn't read the writing, this could have been like a baby biscuit or something, or a dog biscuit. I have no idea. I know that wind
is very sweet.
No, it's not. And I know that winters are tough out there and you need all your calories, but this feels like empty calories. I don't know.
Unlike the candy, which is full calories or something.
Like, it's not really a cake and it's not really a biscuit.
You know, said the woman was pushing different things at the store. Did she push this?
I grabbed this on the way in.
Oh, see, that's a mistake. You should have been taking her.
I'm actually looking to see if this thing's even expired. It does say it was baked in December of last year. And it says it's best before the 17th of June. So,
we're right
on the edge of the cycle there. So, clearly, if that's the case, it's supposed to taste this way. I don't know what it is, but if you're ever in Russia and someone hands you something that's like a 1-inch thick Pop-Tart that's about 6 inches long, politely turn them down and say you're just having the coffee.
All right,
on to Group G.
Group G.
Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, and England. Belgium are a team that people are talking about have enough talent to win it. If you watch Premier League football, all the top teams have Belgians on them. Hazard from Chelsea, Vincent Kompany, all these
Kevin
names. De Bruyne from Manchester City. All these guys, you know, they're playing in the Champions League.
Coutois
they're playing
from,
in, yeah.
The keeper for Chelsea.
They're playing in the Champions League. They're playing in the English Premier League. That being said,
and they've got Martinez, who was
Everton's manager
for a time being.
And if you watch the World Cup previously, he used to do coverage on ESPN. Very erudite, very intelligent. I mean, I love listening to him talk. He really understands the game. I think he's a bit of a mixed bag as a manager, to be fair. But You know, he is managing many people's choice to win it. For all that,
you know, I was saying the whole same thing 4 years ago. I remember talking about what great chocolates and beers they had, and you know, everybody should root for them, and they didn't really, although they.
But they
beat
never
up in the United States.
And I know this is one of those things. I'm now going to say something. I'm now going to make the case for and against what I'm about to say. The World Cup comes once every 4 years, and in a strange way, history doesn't really mean anything. That being said, it always seems that Russia, that the Germans and Brazil and Argentina are going deep in these tournaments year after year after year after year. So that being said, for all their talent, and Belgium have been, you know, the national team went through a cycle in the late 90s where it wasn't any good, and they rebuilt it up again, and it's been solid again. I remember them as a kid. They were always there or thereabouts. But to be fair, I think they have one semi-final on their resume after 60 years in the World Cup. Again, historical form doesn't mean anything. While I believe they're good enough to win it, I'd find it hard parting with my cash to put money on them to do so. Whereas if you said to me, this isn't a break.
You could have stopped with the, I find it hard parting with my cash.
Yeah, well, yes. But if you said to me, this German team is not very good, I'm still going to sit here and go, yeah, but they're going to get to the semifinals. It's just something about them. Belgium is sort of like this weird, they're like sort of the reverse brother of Germany. But they've got it all on paper, and yet somehow, even last time, they got by the U.S., and then they got knocked out in the next round.
I think the thing is they're kind of chill. Is the thing. Being, you know, Belgium, it's just all a little chill. You know, it's great being good at something, but it's more of an artistry thing than it is like a Germans, we must defeat you kind of approach.
That's true.
But they're coming out of group.
I mean, and frankly, the Belgians, they probably make a better pastry than that Russian thing.
I'm confident they're coming out of group. How about you?
I'm confident they're coming out of the group.
All right, now we need to talk about England, all right?
Yeah, we're going all the way this year. We're going, now that I'm actually no longer, I am, but that's a different story. I'm actually going to give you my very honest answer about England. Year after year, we get to the World Cup, we believe we're going to win it, everyone gets all excited, the team, they don't quite fall flat on their face, but they sort of flatter to deceive and then fall flat on their face. They come home, the manager gets sacked, there's all kinds of, you know, media angst, and, you know, the players disappear off the map until the Premier League season begins. And then we're all going, we're done with England. They always let us down. It's disappointing. We're not who we think we are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Our manager is a young guy called Gareth Southgate, who as a club manager was a bit of a mixed bag. But then he went to work for the National Association and ran the under-21s. When basically no one else wanted the job, he got promoted. He's picked, I think, the youngest squad at the World Cup. There's some recognizable names. You know, Sterling from Manchester City, Rashford and a few others. Harry Kane from Tottenham.
Just re-upped for Tottenham for 6 years.
But then, you know, the starting goalkeeper is probably going to be the guy whose team just got relegated. And there's a whole lot of other people who you go, well, this isn't some superstar David Beckham-esque English team with a lot of hype about it.
No, I mean, the plus side is that they've discarded some of the older folks, and hopefully they don't. There's a lot of baggage. You know,
there's a lot of baggage
on the older folks where they kept sort of failing, and so it kind of seemed like they were going to fail.
There's no baggage.
Mental thing, and they don't have the same baggage here now.
It's a young team. They went unbeaten in qualifying, which in Europe was 10 straight games. I've seen a couple of their friendlies.
The goalkeeper situation is not very good.
Yeah, we're not going to win it. But you know something? I think when it's all said and done, when they get back off the plane at Heathrow in about a month's time, they're going to come home and people are going to go, yeah, we didn't embarrass ourselves.
Yeah.
So I know that sounds like a strangely low bar, but it's not. I expect us to get out of the group. And frankly, I will be disappointed if we don't. Depending on the draw, I think we're good enough to get to the quarterfinals. Now, we could get a bum draw, but we should get out of the group. And in a strange way, I'm actually, to be fair, I'm always excited when it comes around to watch England. I'm actually excited this time with legitimate reason. I don't have some sort of excitement, but I'm like, no, I'm just excited. I think they're going to do great. And so, yeah.
All right, then. So Belgium and England.
Belgium and England.
Okay,
yeah.
Same here. All right, Group H.
Panama, one of the teams that that qualified at the expense of the U.S.
and beat Costa Rica in the last game to get in. So depending, there was a couple of things that
happened. So now U.S. fans, I know the TV are telling you, Fox Sports are telling you, yeah, we're going to be following Mexico. But if you don't feel like following Mexico, the other, I don't know if you're one of those people who want the teams that went instead of you to do well, or if you decide you don't want them to do well. But Panama and Costa Rica are two other teams that qualified from the U.S.'s region. So if you want to jump on a local bandwagon and you don't want to jump on Mexico, they're your teams to
jump on. You know, I tend to think that, except that I want to go back and see how their fans treated the United States when we're there, because we have a lot of problems with fans of other countries
in our region
being really inappropriate to our teams and our fans and stuff. So I'm not giving anybody the benefit of doubt until I check on how that went.
I think it's Panama's first ever World Cup, though. So it's kind of exciting for them.
Hopefully
they'll get thumped by England, but it's still exciting for them.
One more piece of information. So the ball is an Adidas Telstar. Telstar was like their first, I think, big name brand ball from the 70s.
I think it was the original black and white.
Right. Like when we think of a soccer ball, that was that wasn't necessarily a black and white pattern originally, but
black hexagons, white hexagons.
So the new ball, which is obviously constructed differently than they used to be then, is an homage to that kind of thing. So it's got a little bit of a black and white pattern and blocks in that to it. So,
all right. So the last group of the World Cup. So the last four teams out of the 32 that have made it. Yep. And if there's something called a group of death, to me, this is the group of indifference. Colombia, Japan, Poland, and Senegal. Yeah.
It's
idea.
Poland was the A here? I mean, what?
I would imagine Colombia are the A, although they weren't even... No, they were in the last World Cup.
Does your little thing do it that way, or is it
no,
just
No, my little thing did it in the order of the games, and that is not the order that they come out of the pots. Yeah. So I don't know who the top-line team was. Colombia, Japan, Poland, Senegal. Senegal, thanks for coming. They're going to go 0-3, so they're out, but it would have been a great time. Colombia did okay last World Cup, and they do have a relatively decent South American heritage. They don't qualify every time, but they're pretty decent, and they play attacking football. They'll be quite good to watch. So while I've just called this the group of indifference, if you're sitting in the bar at 10 in the morning pounding beers and the TV's on and it's Colombia, then have another beer and watch the rest of the game, because they'll probably be quite entertaining.
Yeah.
They're gonna ping it about a bit. They're gonna attack. You know, they're not gonna grind it out. Poland, I know nothing about. Their national team has been sort of on the rebound. It went very quiet after the 70s when they were quite strong, and then they had 20 years where they didn't qualify for anything, and then they qualified. They hosted the Euros a few years ago. They qualified for the last World Cup. I don't know anything about any of their players other than I think the goalkeeper used to play for the Arsenal. Japan are a team. Or maybe they caught. I might be misspoken now. Maybe Japan were the year when Japan and South Korea
they were first
hosted
first in Group B in Asian qualifying. No, ahead of Saudi Arabia and Australia.
In 2002, Japan and South Korea co-hosted the World Cup. I just said South Korea made it to the semis. I actually think it might have been Japan that made it to the semis. I'm not sure.
Right.
But Japan, they're in every World Cup. They qualified first out of Asia. I'm going to say Colombia and Japan. I mean, Japan are as close as it comes in that group to being a veteran. They're always in the World Cup. They know what they're doing. They've got a couple of guys playing around the world that are not A-plus player, but definitely a whole load of P-plus guys.
I'm going Colombia and Poland.
Okay.
So there's not that many differences between our things.
There's not. Well, I think maybe in 2 weeks' time we'll do a quick update and sort of figure out who we're picking to go the rest of the way once it all resets. So there are your eight groups of four. The top two will go into the knockout. The bottom two go souvenir shopping and go home.
Predict a final and a champion, or who cares?
Who cares?
All right, then.
So then 16 will go through, and then it will be 16, 8, 4,
right, from there on out, it's a regular playoff structure.
I'm very excited. You know, you win and move on, lose, and you're out.
I forget, what's the format for... overtime and extra time and
I think it's two. I think it's 2 15s and then kicks. But I think kicks this year is what they're doing when they call it the S curve kicks. They're now doing. There are going to be two differences in this World Cup that are actually going to make things very interesting. And I'm going to
the easy one. S curve meaning they don't go
It used
team
to be
one, team two, team one, team two. They go, it goes one, two, 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 one, two, two.
Yeah,
one, one. You know, like
yeah. So it's not always the same team kicking first and second.
Yeah.
The other thing that we need to watch out for, which I think is going to be a new experience for everyone, this is going to be the first World Cup with the video assistant referee.
Right.
Basically meaning
that just for goals or for.
I'm not sure.
Well, video.
I'm actually not sure. I'm not sure at what moment VAR kicks in. And VAR has been experimented with. I'm surprised MLS actually haven't. They like to be at the forefront of this stuff. Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't been experimenting with it. Some English games did use it. It was used in some European games. But I'm not. I think it's a bit. It's no different than. You know, American football was the first sport to really have video replay. And even now, there's always argument about what can be reviewed and what cannot be reviewed. I don't know what can be reviewed in the World Cup coming up. I think definitely goals. And I have heard.
Well, not even a case of review. It's a case of the goal itself is automatic.
The review will kick in for a goal.
Well, but it just is or isn't if it's electronic. I mean, it's not like in the NFL where you go to like check a bunch of cameras and stuff like that. The thing's a goal or it's not a goal.
No, but what I'm saying, what I mean is. Obviously, I think any goal, the video guy is going to be checking, and he'll either buzz or he won't buzz. Mm. But what I'm saying is just regular infringements on the field of play, a lot of things, it's just going to be what the referee says. What I'm saying is there are going to be moments where whoever in the studio is looking at the screen is definitely double-checking. It's going to be goals. And I'm told...
I'm saying that I don't think they use a person for that.
I'm also told... that the video assistant will be in effect to catch people out who have been conning the referee. So apparently, if you seriously foul someone and the referee doesn't call it, there's still a danger you could get a yellow card after the game. That's my understanding.
Yeah, well, that's actually, is that even really different?
Well, yeah, because before, if the referee didn't blow his whistle, then it's, you know, it's like a crime. If you're not caught by the police, then it's not a crime, is it? I mean, it is, but it's not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this will be the first World Cup with video assistant referee. Right. I will say this, those things exist.
It's a team of three people who are doing this stuff. There's the main ref, meaning a outside of the field ref, an assistant and a replay operator. Four types of decisions can be reviewed. Goals and violations that build up to goals, penalties, red cards, and mistaken identity in awarding a card.
Yeah.
For a decision made on the pitch to be overturned must be clear error. The automatic goal thing is not getting used because that's why I was saying there isn't like the ones where you see where like the goal is either awarded or not isn't like a person reviewing. It's a computer says it's a goal and it buzzes some electronic system.
No, but what I mean here, when a goal is scored, the video assistant referee is going to be watching to let the referee know.
Different system.
Okay. No, I know. I didn't. That's what I'm saying. It's not the one with the little chips in the ball and it goes over. This is
just cameras you can do for the other. Yeah. The ball. Anyway.
So anyway, this is the first time it's ever happened. These things go in place in an attempt to fend off controversy. I'm going to make one prediction right now. There's going to be controversy over this. Someone's going to get it wrong somewhere. There's still going to be some heinous violation where the ball didn't go in or the person used his hand and got away with it. Yeah. I suspect this is someone else is being thrown in there that ultimately someone somewhere has a very sick sense of humor and thinks this will add to the entertainment value. I'm not sure it will make the game better officiated.
Yeah.
That is the traditionalist in my indeterminate middle-aged person speaking. All right, so I guess as we get out of our World Cup special, why don't we do this then for our prediction? You know in golf where there used to be that long stretch of time where you'd take Tiger Woods or the field? You know when he was winning all the time,
mm-hmm.
and when you'd sit around going, "Oh, he's going to win the Masters," and someone goes, "Well, you take Tiger Woods or you take the field." I look at this World Cup this year. I have no idea who's going to win it. I honestly don't. Like last time, if you'd put me in a corner, I probably would have said, "Yeah, you know, Germany. I guess Brazil are hosting, so it's probably going to be Brazil." There's no Italy, who tend for me. When their backs are against the wall, they tend to deliver a result. They're not even in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good France are at the moment. I'm not convinced by Belgium. So I'm going to do this. Do you take Germany or do you take the field?
That's the field bet.
You're going to take
If it's wide open, why would you wouldn't take Germany? You take the field. I mean, if Germany has a better than 50% chance of winning, then...
But I don't. But I'm going to take the field. But again, that's the thing. Who knows? Germany might end up winning it.
Yeah. No, sure. But... Trying to find if there's any place.
Are there any odds anywhere?
That's what I'm looking to see.
Yeah, it's the one thing we did not come armed with. A friend of the show, Tor Keith, he's a big gambler. We need to get him to email in the latest odds. Then again, while I'm taking information from American as to who's going to win the thing, well, no idea.
Jeez, this is the most complicated odds sheet I've ever seen. They've got like 20 different houses and what
they're
doing.
Just pick one. Pick Bet365 or Ladbrokes or William Hill and just see what they're giving you. I would imagine the Germans are going to start off at like 3-1 or something.
They're 9-2 at Bet365.
Yeah, there you go. It says 3-1. Well, 9-2 is nearly
done. It's pretty good at math there.
No, actually, it's not. It's 4-1. So Germany. Well,
Brazil is 4-1. Spain is 6-1. So Brazil's the favorite.
Well, what's Germany? 9-2.
9-2.
All right. So let me refine it then. Brazil, Germany, or the field? Do you take one of those two, or do you take the field? I'm sticking with the field. I don't think Brazil are going to win it this year. And I can't decide if that's the part of me that always roots against Brazil now coming into it. Because I'm tired of all that like Fiesta and all that nonsense. I'll just be done with it.
Yeah.
Third world country. I can say that now as an American.
All right. Well, we're not really doing anything official here. England is 16-1 in case you care.
No, I'll put a dollar on that. Oh, yeah. So I'm taking the field. I don't think Germany or Brazil are going to win it. I actually think someone else is going to show up and win it. Belgium, probably.
Let's see if there's 2 4-1s is essentially 50-50 bet. Well, just for junk and giggles, I'll take Brazil and Germany.
Brazil or Germany. So there you go. So my partner says Brazil, Germany. I say one of the other 30, but probably not. Who did I have going out early? Probably not Russia and not Egypt, who we both decided would be eliminated.
I don't think they'll win anything.
Are you looking forward to it? Are you going to make time?
Oh, I forgot my last
important,
little-known fact is that, you know, the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, and this is really just the first step in planting Alexander Ovechkin as the Manchurian candidate to take over the nation. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still one of them, isn't he?
Oh, he's very Russian.
It's a shame we can't punch up Vladimir on the computer again and have him lead us out of the show.
All those
Are you looking forward to it? Are you going to take time? I mean, the U.S. aren't in it, which I know.
It's in the middle of the day. It's a pain in the butt. I mean, I'll obviously.
Well, you stream it at work and sort of
throw it on my phone,
the other
screen kind of thing,
and everything. Yeah, and definitely at the weekends you'll park in front of the telly and watch whatever. Sure. And there is something about it. Once the games get going, you do get lost in. There was a great English journalist who wrote this book. His name was Pete Davis. He wrote the definitive book about the World Cup called All Played Out, and he talked about he went to Italy 30 years ago. And followed England around. But he said that you had all these games every day. And once you're there, and we had a similar experience when we were at the Olympics, you just get lost. And he said he called it like World Cup time. Like you're suddenly in this weird Bermuda Triangle where outside events don't mean anything. And the time of day doesn't mean anything. And like I say, I do. Yeah, that first 2 weeks when it's three games a day. I've already told people in my household, don't come and find me. Mm-mm. I'm in front, or if you do need me, I'll be in front of one of the televisions.
You can talk at the same time.
Yeah. That's it. This has been The Atlantic Voice. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on The Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.